The state budgets proposed over the last 10-plus years have left the disability rights community either feeling left out or personally attacked as a result of funding and policy decisions being championed by former Governor Andrew Cuomo. But with the transition in 2021 at the Executive Mansion, disability rights advocates have been anxiously awaiting the release of Governor Kathy Hochul's proposed budget to get a better sense of how her rhetoric compared to her fiscal priorities. To answer that question, we're joined once again by Bruce Darling, President and CEO of the Center for Disability Rights. Welcome back to the show, Bruce.
Thank you for having me.
So what was the biggest and, I guess, most important funding line or policy item you were looking for in the governor's budget proposal, and how did it compare to what's actually in there?
Okay, so I think the biggest one is really the wages of home care and personal assistance in our homes. So these are the people who assist us in living our daily lives, help us get out of bed, help us with eating, toileting, that type of thing. And they currently make upstate $13.20 an hour minimum wage, and we were looking for that number to go up. And unfortunately, it didn't. So that really is a major problem with the budget as we see it.
And what's the ramification of the wages remaining where they are?
Okay, so first off, everyone's having trouble finding workers. You can imagine how if you need someone to help you get in and out of bed, that when you can't find a worker, that's not just a problem, it's a crisis, which is what people have right now. And failing to raise the wage for the people who use to assist with feeding tubes and the support we need in the community so that it's at least on par with what you would make in a fast food facility, that leaves people without the services they need. So we have folks who are at risk of being institutionalized, who are laying in bed in their own waste, waiting to see if someone else can come and help them. And this budget doesn't do anything to do that. It does give a bonus. So folks, a certain group of attendants can get a small bonus, but that doesn't make up for the difference. So this is a major problem for us, and it's a significant gap in the budget.
When you and I spoke in the fall, you were waiting on executive action on legislation creating an Office of the Advocate for People with Disabilities. When I checked on the bill Tuesday night, the governor still hadn't acted on it. But she appears to be trying to tackle this problem from a different direction. What's your understanding of the status of the legislative proposal? And what's your response to what the governor seems to be interested in doing in this arena?
Okay, so we don't know what the status is on the legislation. It's still in the same holding pattern that it's been in. So we're eagerly awaiting some word that she's going to sign it. Our understanding is that embedded in the budget, although we can't find language, there is funding for at least three full-time equivalents to fund and support an office. The concern we have is sort of the administration's fixation on this chief disability officer language and what the office would actually do. Lacking any significant language in the budget that we can identify, we really don't have anything solid to work with. In the state of the state, they talked about the importance of employment and getting people with disabilities jobs, but that really sort of fell short of what we need. After more than 15,000 disabled and elderly folks died in nursing facilities and other institutions due to COVID, talking to us about jobs just falls short of what we need. We really need policy that gets folks out of institutions and into the community where they're safer and they can live their lives. And frankly, I don't understand this administration's focus on perpetuating the legacy of her predecessor, who was misogynistic and ableist. His language for the chief disability officer was intended to give him political cover for vetoing the Office of the Advocate, instead of actually advancing a policy for folks with disabilities. So the fact that they're continuing to use that language raises some questions about, you know, why is that? And I think that this underscores why they need someone in a position who can advise the administration. There just isn't anyone in there who understands disability from a personal perspective.
Well, then, are you hoping that the legislature, which has championed the creation of the Office of the Advocate for People with Disabilities, will use the budget process as an opportunity to insert the language that is likely going to be vetoed by the governor so that when March 31st comes, we have a budget that has this office authorized in state law?
Okay, so I haven't given up on her signing the bill. I think that if Governor Hochul actually meets with disabled people ourselves, that she'll sign the bill into law. There may be some changes, minor changes that they make, but you know, I think that I'm still not giving up hope on that. I really am calling on the governor to do that. She still has time to sign the bill to establish this office, and I think that that's what she should do. So if, in fact, she vetoes the bill, that would be very disappointing, because what we've been very clear what we need is an office, and we want some stability. We want to know that that office is going to exist, and it's not just some placeholder that can be wiped away if someone else decides to make a change. We want something in law. So I think that our hope is that she'll sign the bill, that she'll actually do a great bill signing, possibly at the Disability History Museum in Buffalo, and that would be a great way for her to build those connections. And if she's not sure about signing it, she really does need to meet with disability advocates themselves, because she needs to hear from us why this is important to us, why the language is important to us, instead of just sort of hearing it from through other people who may not explain it correctly.
For listeners who are just joining us, we're talking about the governor's budget proposal with Bruce Darling, president and CEO of the Center for Disability Rights. And you identified the bonuses for workers in this area as a positive step in the budget. Were there any other bright spots in either the appropriation bills that we've seen or the Article 7 bills that include policy language from the governor?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So she expands access to long-term services and supports by addressing income and asset limits. I think that's a positive. We're not undoing. There's a COLA for some of the agencies, a sizable COLA, 5% for OPW, OMH, those communities. So there are things that are positive there. The work that she's done in the budget around incarcerated and formerly incarcerated folks is really positive. I mean, I think that that's one of the things that looks really exciting. And I think from the disability community's perspective, that's what we're hoping we'll get to, is that there will be a level of understanding that we can have a groundbreaking budget, because although these good things are in there, what she's done is sort of left disabled people behind, and probably inadvertently, simply because they just don't know what our language and what our issues are. But these are all positive things in terms of expanding funding to Centers for Independent Living. That there's an unprecedented increase in those funds, and that's actually very, very exciting. And it's about time.
I'm curious why you mentioned the policies addressing incarcerated New Yorkers. What's the overlap between those people and the Center for Disability Rights purview?
Okay, so a lot of folks who are incarcerated or formerly incarcerated are people with disabilities. So we work with folks who are coming out into the community. They just face additional access barriers in addition to the other barriers, systemic bias against them. It also is interesting that some of the policy changes we believe are going to impact our ability to get folks out of institutions. So there are, when you look at these systems, sort of the prison model and the institutional model, you know, these are groups of people who are disenfranchised, who get locked up in facilities so that their freedom and lives can be turned into cash for other folks. We may say it's for other people's safety or their safety. It's all about safety in the rhetoric, but the impact is basically pulling people out of society. So we pay attention to both the institutionalization of folks in disability facilities and in the prison and system.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there for now. We've been speaking with Bruce Darling. He's the president and CEO of the Center for Disability Rights. Bruce, thank you so much for making the time, and look forward to chatting with you more in the future.
Great. Thank you so much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.